everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Space Game Junkie podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
I'm not going to do it.
Please, thank you.
No, I'm not doing it.
Thank you. And joining us, we have a friend of the show, Nate, who goes online as Iridium884. We've been on before, Nate, if I recall, back at the Thanksgiving episode, if I recall.
Yeah, the 30-person Skype call.
That was awesome.
That was fun. That was fun. I don't know if it was actually listenable, but it was fun to record.
I hope it was listenable. I think since we understood what was being said, other people, no one complained. I don't think
so. That's true. It's true. Did anyone say anything nice?
I could look, but I don't remember.
it's better that you don't look.
People usually say nice things. Sometimes they'll get I have a like and dislike thing, and sometimes a podcast gets a dislike, but no one says why.
I think it's a conspiracy. There's one guy, because every time we post an episode, on the day it goes up, there's one guy that goes in there and whacks dislike every time. Yeah.
Really?
And can you tell who it is?
No.
Can you track
the
button?
That's the sad part. That's the sad part.
The worst part about that? That's probably the highlight of his week.
Oh, I know, man.
It's like that kid that rushes in to just put the first comment that all it just says is first post.
First.
Woo!
Why is that a thing? Why is that a thing?
It's the internet.
Because you get to be first. Everyone.
So just about every podcast has at least one dislike. You're right, except for.
I'm telling you.
After I added the button, every podcast except one has a dislike.
Well, that was our good one. One no one could disagree with.
That was the one about StarQuest II, that there are no dislikes for that one. I don't understand. I mean, if you're going to dislike the podcast, you're going to say you dislike it. Please tell me why. If you don't want to say in a comment, contact me directly using the contact form on the site, or we actually have an email. It's hail, H-A-I-L, at spacegamejunkie.com, and you could email Jim and I, and that goes to both of us, directly. I got to mention that more because I think it'd be fun to have like a listener call-in show type thing where people send emails and we respond, we answer their shit. I think that'd be funny.
Only fan mail, though. We could read fan mail. And then at the end of the show, we could have like a pajama party where we just like read the funny ones, you know, like send us bad jokes.
You could do my nails.
Yeah.
I'll braid your hair.
No, not that kind of, that's a sleepover. It's a whole different thing.
So is there a pillow fight? There'll be a pillow fight.
Only
right?
A sexy pillow fight.
All pillow fights. Can a pillow fight not be a sexy pillow fight?
Well, if they're shown in like normal motion, maybe a little, but like you got to slow it down.
Yeah, it's got to be slowed down, and there has to be lingerie and feathers flying.
Oh God. Okay, well, folks.
That's our show for tonight.
Good night, everybody. No, last week we took a look back at the year that was 2013 because it had some ups, but boy, did it have some downs. And now we've been specifically asked by listeners, so I thought, why not? We're looking ahead to 2014, and I have put together a list that I will put in the show notes of all the games I could find that are very likely coming out this year. As Nate asked before the show started, was that one, No Man's Sky, you mentioned?
Yeah, No Man's Sky.
Yeah, that's not on here because that's probably not coming out this year, I don't think. So, yeah, like I didn't put Star Citizen on here because that's 2015, for example. But there's a lot of stuff on here that I'm very excited about, and there's some stuff I haven't played, and there's probably stuff you guys are excited about. So, yeah, let's start with you since you're the special call-in, you're the guest. What on this list of games that we know of coming out this year would you say you want to talk about? Like, what are you excited about and what are you worried about?
Okay. Do you want to start with the one I'm excited about or the one I'm worried about?
As The Rock said in Fast Five, I like my veggies before I like my desserts. So give me the veggies.
All right, I am nervous about GalCiv 3. Let me ask you a question.
Fair.
What is the last good product Stardock has come out with?
I have
window blinds.
Oh. Okay.
I haven't played much Fallen Enchantress, but I kind of enjoyed it a bit. But I'm a little concerned about that one, honestly, because I only played the vanilla version of GalCiv 2. I never really got into the expansions, but...
But your feelings on GalCiv 2 are well known that you are not a fan.
I'm not really. No, I'm not. And it's
well known in the Stardock offices now. Because
That's why they set off the fire alarm.
I was going to say, if they send any packages to you, don't answer it. So me and my friends have an expression. Like, when we talk about Adam Sandler, we say that he has lost the funny. Like, he is no longer capable of being funny.
I disagree.
He has not had a hit.
Disagree, because Jack and Jill was awesome.
What was the last movie Adam Sandler was in? What?
Jack and Jill was awesome. Movies.
The movie is terrible. Well,
no, because Adam Sandler in drag looks exactly like my sister and acts like her. So
whoa.
I sat there and watched this with my sister, and, like, everybody was cackling, and she didn't understand why.
Is your sister Adam Sandler?
Sometimes.
Okay. I feel like he has lost the ability to be funny. And I feel like Stardock may have lost the ability to make a good game. Elemental was really bad. The Political Machine 2012 was not that good. I haven't tried Fallen Enchantress.
Did you pre-order Elemental? Because you get it for free, I think, right?
I don't pre-order anything.
Oh, that's probably smart.
Yeah. But there's a part of me, and there's been some weird stories about Stardock. There was that story about Brad Wardell. He had that thing, and
yeah. There's
been some weird stuff going on. So I'm a little nervous about it. Like, I don't think it's a lock it in home run, GalCiv 3.
Well, I did like some of the things that they were talking about when we interviewed the guy from there, though, because he was talking about how he, too, hated the sliders, and he was like, I need to get this out of here and just completely redesign the UI and everything. And since he was an artist that's now coming into that, and he was the UI guy, right? So I think that having the UI guy, instead of be dictated to that the UI needs to do this, he can actually design what a good UI would be and then build the game around that. And I think that maybe might turn the ship around. Because all my problems with GalCiv are UI-based.
Mm. My issues with GalCiv is that it's just kind of bland. It's just... It's just bland. It's like... just doesn't have any energy.
Yeah, it's like... it doesn't have either, like, flavor. Doesn't have much of a soul. I don't think... You feel like you're going through the motions. That's how it always felt for me. And before we did the podcast talking about the third one... Both Jim and I revisited the second one, and I spent a couple hours with it at least. It's not enough time to really, dive into a game, but it still didn't really click.
Yeah, but then after we talked to the guy, I fired it back up, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take to heart what he said about the UI, and I'm gonna skip the scenario thing, because the scenario stuff was bad. That's just a puzzle thing. So I put it in the regular sandbox game. And I put maybe 10 hours into it, right? And it clicked. And I got to the point where I was building Doom Stars and, like, sending them in and destroying entire solar systems. And, I felt suitably evil. So that was okay. But, yeah, I've uninstalled it since because it was like, okay, it had its 10-hour run. I played one full game of it, but I don't see a lot of repeat plays coming.
Yeah.
I had talked about this before on the Thanksgiving dumpster fire of a podcast that everyone was talking over, that I feel like it's sort of beholden to Mutu, and they keep trying to make that game over and over and over again.
Oh, everyone does. Yeah.
And
a lot of people do. And
but they need to just make it. Don't make it like it. They need to make it.
You can't make it again. It's already.
Yeah, I don't think lightning can strike twice in that regard.
Oh, it can. You get that old strategy guide out that gave all the numbers.
They couldn't. The people who made Mew 2 couldn't make another Mew 2, and they tried Mew 3. And
that's because they were under some kind of pressure that they had to innovate beyond, right? And it's like, no.
Really?
All we want is the thing. Don't make the thing plus. Just make the thing again.
You don't need. you can't make the thing again. You can make, you know, I think you need to do something a little different.
You can innovate or evolve the thing in another iteration, but you can't like just make the thing again, or people will say, oh, this is just like Mew 2, and you know, why would I play Mew 3 if it's just like Mew 2?
The one game that I can think of at all that did it is XCOM. They did a complete reboot of XCOM, and it's still a great game, and it still does the same things. Right?
You're right.
I don't think XCOM does as many things. I don't think it has as many systems as a game like Mew 2. So I'm not saying it's easy to catch that lightning in a bottle again. I'm saying there are less variables to make the odds improved is what I'm saying. And I'm glad they had the right people on board to catch that lightning in a bottle again with the new iteration, which I have not played. I don't want to play because FTL gives me panic attacks. I don't want to have soldiers I'm attached to and watch them get killed.
Put the expansion. That's coming out soon. That'll be on the list. That's going to be awesome.
That's right.
The expansion.
Advance, yeah, FTL Advance is going to be on the tablets too, at least the iPad.
Hey, while we're beating on Stardock, Stardock Control 4, or whatever they're going to call it, the Star Control thing could be good.
Yeah,
could be good, but that's lightning in a bottle again because they're going to try to remake Star Control 2.
Well, they're going before Star Control 2. It's a prequel,
right?
So.
But still, they're going for that type of gameplay. And it's going to be measured against Star Control 2. And more than measured against Star Control 2, it's going to be measured against our fond recollection of Star Control 2, not necessarily
the actual reality of Star Control 2, which is probably different if people
Yeah, which, by the way, Star Control 2, if you want to play it on a modern PC for free, you can go get the Urquan Masters. It's up on SourceForge.
Absolutely. You can
buy it on GOG, right?
Or that, too. But the Urquan Masters, if you want to play the original, it's like $6. But if you want to like an updated version with lots of little and big improvements really over the years, the Urquan Masters is really the way to go. Though I did lose it when someone, I won't say who, but someone was like, yeah, I know there are other Star Control 2 like games like Starflight. I'm like, I almost blew a blood vessel.
Yeah, sorry.
No, it's okay. They apologize. They said
I was thinking it, but I didn't want to say it to you.
I will break you. Speaking of that sort of thing, I did watch Dark Knight Rises finally, Jim. So I get your I was born in the space line finally.
Ah, there it is.
Yeah, I get it now.
You merely adopted the space. I was born in it. Yeah,
it's like the one line you can understand what the fuck he's saying the entire goddamn.
You should have heard it before they redubbed him.
I want nothing to do with that movie ever again.
I kind of liked it for the Bane parts. I didn't like it for the other parts.
That's another podcast. But fuck, I wasted an evening watching that.
Why is it that Batman is anti-guns? But everything he has giant guns on it.
He's anti-guns because his parents were killed by guns.
Right, but then his motorcycle has giant cannons. And
it's not a gun, that's a cannon.
That's more cannon. Of a crowd a control type, property damage type thing rather than a...
Non-lethal.
Non-lethal. Rather than a lazy... He considers guns to be like the tools of the lazy.
Ask Catwoman how non-lethal that gun is.
Doesn't count.
Spoilers, but yeah. Okay. Anyway,
hey, at least Batman didn't snap Bane's neck. That's something.
Have you seen the thing that Seth Green does with the toys?
Robot Chicken.
Robot Chicken. Did you see the Robot Chicken DC Comics thing where Bane kept breaking Batman's back? Oh God, it was funny.
I have it now.
Batman's like, oh God, I felt it that time, man. My heels touched the back of my head.
Ooh.
I have to see this now. Anyway, back to what we were talking about.
All right. I'm gonna let's talk about a game that I am looking forward to that you guys are going to kill me for, but I am looking forward to it.
Go ahead.
Star Wars Attack Squadrons.
Yay.
Okay.
It's going to suck. Look, I agree. It's going to suck.
Yay, okay.
But there's like 5%, 3%. You ever seen Dumb and Dumber, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah. One in a million chance. So you're saying there's a chance. There's a chance that game is the X-Wing that an evolutionary step towards the X-Wing game that I have been wanting for, I don't know, 20 years.
But see, I recently picked up War Thunder and started playing it, and I, in fact, joined a league. So I'm playing War Thunder like two evenings a week now. It's pretty solid. And I'm thinking that's the right formula for a free-to-play game where you can throw a little money in for customizations and stuff. And then I'm looking at this Star Wars game, and I'm thinking maybe these guys are looking at Gaijin and looking at World of Warplanes, and they're thinking, yeah, us too, because they're rolling in dough, and we would like some dough. So, yeah. And if they just lift that business model.
There is dough to be made in this.
Oh, yeah. An unspeakable amount, because I've heard some people like Star Wars.
A couple.
Few. Yeah. So, yeah. Here's the sad reality. You're going to be flying a TIE fighter with the mouse. You know this.
Yeah, I know.
But that might be acceptable. So,
you know what? I played a little bit of TIE Fighter with my gamepad. It wasn't awful. I mean, it was a little twitchy, and I wouldn't do that normally, but it wasn't terrible.
Look, it's not going to be the same. You're not going to be playing with, like, power distribution and maybe not shield alignment. Like, it's not going to be that game.
Oh, I bet that's you will. I'm going to hold out on that.
That'll be the D-pad. That's all the D-pad right there. That's what that is.
You really think so? You really think
it's possible?
And I think
that's what I would do with it.
The next announcement is going to be it's coming to PlayStation 4 because that's where War Thunder is going.
On the D-pad, you go up. That puts more power to weapons. And put down, that puts more power to shields. You can equalize it out that way. And then the D-pad, like left could be select next gun and right could be select next missile.
Done. And yeah, it could be awesome. It could be a game where I have to spend 20,000 crystals to get the time scepter or something, and then I need to grind for 7 weeks to get like a TIE fighter with a different color or something. Like it could be that.
I don't remember what the currency is in Star Wars.
Credits.
It's just credits. I think it's just credits.
It'll be holocrons. You have to buy holocrons.
Isn't that Transformers?
No, those are energon cubes, but close.
I thought holocron was something.
So yeah, the entire time they'll be at the bottom and it'll say like you have this many credits, but you can buy a holocron for a little bit of money and get thousands of credits. Like I hope it's good.
You know what? I hope it's good too. I'm not holding my breath because I didn't. Whatever the hell, what was it? Jump to light? No, what was the thing in Star Wars Galaxies? That wasn't jump to light speed, was it?
That was good.
Was it?
Yeah, it was okay.
It looked terrible.
So what about the new one? Now that we're talking Star Wars, that's going to be in a week or two.
Is it? I thought it was going live on the 4th.
That's like in a couple weeks. Right?
So there's
true. Yeah,
the people who like subscribe to it already have access,
right?
And then the people who paid once, I think, are getting access soon. And then if you're a free person, I don't know, like Mendex Millennia, you get access to it. Like they're rolling it out in different stages.
I mean, I'll try it.
I watched some YouTube videos of a guy playing it. Didn't look bad. It kind of reminded me of the one from Galaxies, actually. But there's a weird dynamic that's going on there. Like when they hit their afterburners. Boy, do they go past you fast, right? So it's just like they tap their afterburners, and it's like, oh, he's behind me, you know, and like gone, out of range. So that seems to be the defensive tactic, is if somebody's about to shoot a missile at you, you get a lock warning, you just smack the afterburner and get the hell out of there kind of thing.
Oh, that's what always worked in Wing Commander.
Yeah, but it works turbo fast here. Like you have to see it to believe it. It's almost like teleporting.
Well, I will take a look.
This has always been my philosophy that I am a whore for the IPs. Like I like the big IPs. I like Wing Commanders and Star Wars and those big IPs. So
yeah, sure.
those, my hope is that the free-to-play one makes a ton of money and they say, you know what? The movies are coming out soon. Let's make a AAA game.
I mean, it's funny. I played some Jedi Starfighter recently on the PS2 after Jim's sterling recommendation. And I really liked it, honestly.
Did you like the part where you're shooting force lightning out of the ship? And
that was batshit wonderful. I loved that.
How does lightning come out of your ship?
It doesn't come out of your hand or anything.
Shoots all over the place?
Out of the front of the ship.
Now I need to get Brian to try Bombad Racing.
Oh, no.
Is that the one, the arcade game with the massive pod racing, right?
No, that's pod racing.
This is
a good game.
This is Mario Kart, but it's like Super Gungan Kart.
Ooh.
Yeah, you're like Darth Maul with a big Weeble head driving a little Sith car and tossing bananas over his shoulder.
There are some horrible Star Wars games out there. There really were.
I mean, we had a whole show looking back at LucasArts legacy and the fact that Star Wars Connect was their last game just tells you something.
Do the trash compactor, Brian.
What were some of those other dances? I only remember the trash compactor.
Yeah, there was the Kessel Run and the trash compactor. Oh, God, that's
right. Jesus, fuck.
It was a wonderful, wonderful thing. Anyway, AI War has an expansion coming out. I think it's going to be just like the other AI War expansions.
Well, hang on, we're still on Nate. Let's go around the table here.
Oh, okay.
Is that cool? Because I figured, and then we can talk about the other stuff
right,
after.
He hasn't talked about his good one yet, right?
No, that was my good one.
Well, it doesn't have to be just one. What else might you be excited about?
Pick another
Buzz,
good game.
The Buzz Aldrin game. I liked Buzz Aldrin's Race in the Space.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That was a great game.
That was a great game. I don't know how much coding Buzz Aldrin is doing on this game. I don't know how his code is.
He's consulting.
He's not cranking out any code.
He's a one-man shop.
He's just coding it all.
Surprisingly, I didn't know this. He is like super busy, like world traveler. Like even today in his 80s, he's like traveling the world doing speaking engagements and book stuff. And he's like super busy all the time, but they have regular conversations with him over Skype and stuff.
I think honestly, we should make him our first ambassador to Mars. Like we don't know there's anybody there, but in case there is, we should have an ambassador and he should get.
I can't disagree with you.
Because when they land on the White House lawn, you know, who are you going to call? You need to. Oh,
come on.
Oh. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah. So that game sounds really intriguing. I think it's kind of an interesting field that you don't see too much about.
Yeah.
You know, something that's not super, super, you know, like building that kind of thing. I think it's something a little interesting that's a little different, and right. I think it could be really neat. It's definitely Race in Space is an awesome game. If they re-released it on GOG, I would pick it up today.
I hope they do, like, to coincide with the release of this. I would love if they did.
Who the heck owns that now?
Oh, God, was that Interplay? Who was that?
If it's Interplay, you're doomed.
Yeah. I would like to sit down with Buzz Aldrin sometime and play Kerbal Space Program just to see what he has to say.
That'd be great. It was Interplay. That's what I thought.
Good luck with that, then.
Developer was Strategic. Who the hell is Strategic Visions? That was apparent. According to Wikipedia, that was the developer. I have no idea who the hell that is. It sounds familiar, though. It's like. Hang on. Anyway.
It sounds neat. That game sounds really neat. I think it could be interesting. Could be, you know, I like games that are sort of could be cool educational too. I think that especially it's dealing with the 50s there. I thought it would be kind of space race. I think that's an awesome time period that I think is underutilized.
Oh yeah. No, totally. And I'm glad they're doing it because this stuff is not just a fun game that, you know, fires up the imagination. It's also a great educational tool.
Absolutely. Educational. And like that the Race Against the Soviets, it screams for a great game.
You should have an option to fake it though, like hire some Hollywood guys and do a backlot, and then you have to divert funding over into like not getting caught faking.
And then 40 years later, you play a paparazzi who accuses the guy of being of faking it and have to duck his punch.
Yeah, and then it turns into like Punch Out. It'd be Buzz Aldrin's Punch Out.
That'd be awesome. Mortal Kombat 9, Buzz Aldrin's character's fatality.
I would fucking play the shit out of that. Come on, Aldrin, you don't got it in you, old man. Oh,
right.
Buzz Aldrin versus Blogger.
That's right.
Oh. He seriously looks like a dude that would fuck your shit up if you got in this room, his bad side.
Yeah,
and he probably carries a cane, right? Like, not for walking purposes, but just in case somebody.
Not just for walking, or maybe for a little bit of walking.
It's probably got a sword in it.
So, no, I'm totally with you on that one. I'm excited about that. I'm going to try and get an early version if I can, because the early version's kind of out, but you have to pay to play it. And I'm
not a huge fan of early access as a concept for me.
A lot of people aren't, and there's a lot right about that, I think, and a lot wrong with the way some people are doing it. We should have a show about that, Jim. That'd be a good topic.
Yeah, but then I see something like Elite Dangerous, and I see people playing it, and I'm thinking, damn, I should have got in on that.
But you know what? You have a certain amount of, like, energy towards the game, for the most part. But don't you want your first experience to be the completed experience?
It's like that watching, is true.
Like, it does depend on expectations, though. Like, if you go in knowing this is not finished, if this is going to be broken, this is not going to work as well as it could, you might be all right, but I totally see what you're saying. But there's definitely an expectation management element to it some people don't want to deal with. They just
Think about, like, you played Skyrim and you get 100 hours into it before they patch in the dragons, right? Yeah. And then it's like, well, I'm kind of done with it because, you know.
It's true. Though people have put hundreds and hundreds of hours into Kerbal Space Program. That thing's nowhere near done, but it's definitely playable. Yeah, so there are good ones out there. Like,
it's not done.
It's not done. It's nowhere near done. But people are putting hundreds of hours into it. People are modding it, you know, recording
videos. But when the game is done, will those people still be playing it, or will they have moved on to some other early access game?
That's a good question. That's a very good question.
Kerbal Space Program is basically Buzz Aldrin's Garry's Mod.
That's true.
And because the characters are so cute, you don't mind leaving them on the moon or killing them out of a exploding capsule or whatever.
I wish that it actually left a little tombstone permanently where each one died.
Oh, that's morose, man. That's dark.
No, I want them to go like Star Wars. I'm sorry, Star Trek 2 style. Send a little torpedo into space.
I'd be all right with that as long as you have a Scotty faking
the bagpipes.
Faking the bagpipes.
He was the most human.
All right.
So I watched a Kerbal video where a guy built the ship from Sunshine and flew it and crashed it into the sun.
Oh God!
Oh yeah. God!
He built like a big bomb ship and flew it up to the sun and trying to see, like, you know, can I put enough mirrors on the front of the shield of this thing to actually touch the sun or not? And it would always, he'd get within like two clicks and explode every time. But yeah,
that's fair.
And then there apparently you can land on Mars now too. So because the guy, this video that I'm watching. You know, I've never even made it to the moon. I suck. So if I get in orbit,
I made it there once with help.
Yeah,
and it was great.
Yeah, I'd need like a personal trainer to.
that's what I had.
Yeah, but anyway, so I saw this guy like basically build the Discovery in orbit, you know, by launching up different rockets into orbit, and then he linked it together into his big ship. And flew it to Mars, and I was like, wow, this game has evolved since the last time I looked at it. Because that's business.
And it's just continuing to evolve.
The ship got halfway there, and it turned out one of the crew was a homicidal robot. And, oh, no, that's another game. Never mind.
What's one of the Kerbal's names? I can't remember. There's always a Kerbal as a funny name. Anyway, I'm sorry, whoever your name is. I can't do that.
All right, I got one more game too, and then that'll be it.
Okay.
DF9, the Double Fine.
We were just talking about the whole early access thing, and now you're talking about early access.
No. I haven't played it. But
You're excited about it.
I'm excited. It's the games I'm excited about. And if you were to ask me, who would make the next Startopia? Did you guys play Startopia back in the day?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, that was a great game. It still is a great game. I bought it as soon as it was on GOG, and I played a little of it, and it's still fun. It
holds up.
It does hold up. Yep.
So I would never have guessed Double Fine would be into that, but you know, it sounds really exciting. It sounds awesome. I think I can't wait to give it a try. I'm a little concerned though. I know that Double Fine's been having some issues with Broken Age, like they split the game in two. So who knows when DF9 is going to come out? But I think that could be really neat too.
Yeah.
You don't sound excited.
I don't know. I mean, has Double Fine ever done the space game?
No.
Yeah, I'm a little, I don't know, I'm warily cautious, because they put out a lot of stuff, and their stuff is beloved, but I can't imagine everything they put out is going to be particularly good. I mean, they're going to make a misfire somewhere. And I try not to be negative, but sometimes I can't help it.
Look, you're not buying it for the spaciness. You're buying it for the personality. Like, it's
that's
not
true.
Be
it just happens to be in space, which, yeah. You know what? As long as space is a factor, I'm fine with that. As long as
it could
space
be like in Detroit, you know what I mean? It might as well be, you know?
Yeah, but they always do some quirky stuff. I think, honestly, one of the finest games that Double Fine put out is Costume Quest. I get it out every Halloween. In fact, I was sitting, they brought it out on the iPad this year. So I'm sitting on the porch passing out candy to the kids and playing Costume Quest on my iPad. Cause I have, you know, I'm stuck on the porch for a couple hours, right? So yeah. So I love that game.
Startopia is all about kind of the cute. It's cute.
It's true. Does have a lot of personality, that game.
It's like the anti-Gossip too. It is all personality. So I think it's going to be a really neat game. I don't know if is it this year? Is that when it's coming out? I know Broken Age.
I believe so. I'm not 100%, but I believe it is. It's why I put it on the list. I was pretty sure it said 2014.
Yeah.
But I'm not 100%.
With Broken Age, they just had an issue where I did not contribute to Broken Age, but it was supposed to come out like now, and they split it into two parts.
Yes, was it single player and multiplayer?
No, it's an adventure game. Is it not multiplayer?
Oh, I thought it was.
Is it multiplayer? I don't think so.
There was going to be a multiplayer part of it. I might be thinking of a different game.
Yeah, I don't. No, you're thinking of Massive Chalice, which is the another Double Fine game. Oh, wow, they're coming out with a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they've changed strategies from putting the entire team on one project to just letting everybody have an indie project, and it's like, we're going to throw a bunch of donuts against the wall and see which one sticks.
Well, they've been using Kickstarter a lot. Like, they have Brad Muir's project, Double Massive Chalice, which is like Final Fantasy Tactics. That's a Double Fine project. They have DF9. They have Broken Age. They have a lot of stuff going on now.
Yeah, that's true. I wonder if they spread themselves too thin. But I like the look of it, and I'll probably get it at some point. But I don't know. I can't feel too excited about it yet.
I think it's going to be neat. I think it's going to be the 2014 Startopia. And if you give me Startopia with nicer graphics, I will be a happy camper.
If you're right about that, and that's what it turns into, I'll be there day one. I'll be there before day one. No question. All right, so Jim, what are you not looking forward to this year? What are you worried about? What could you do without this year?
Well, let's see. I don't know. I'm looking down the list of stuff here, and I've got some real concerns about Distant Worlds 4th expansion.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to hear you choke. But
you fucker. I was really gonna get her into a row about. Okay.
Honestly, I can say the things that I'm into. Well, like, okay, Pulsar Lost Colony.
Yeah.
That we played around with in the alpha and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that game is going to be able to come together this year.
Okay.
I think that game might be good, but it's going to need some time in the oven because the direction they're going, I think, is going to evolve.
Are we also doing predictions? Do you want to do predictions as well? That might be fun.
I got to get my Karnak hat on for that one. So
that's really dated. That's really dated.
I know, right? So I'll tell you.
We all knew what he was talking about.
I'll tell you what I'm psyched up for here. All right.
Okay.
Okay. Elite Dangerous.
Yeah.
I wanna make sweet love to that game.
I will tell you. Someone gave me access to their alpha.
Damn you.
And I've been playing a little of it. It feels so right.
It's like everything that X Rebirth didn't do.
It's just every scenario has just been pure combat focus. There's been no trading or anything. It's all just a bunch of random combat scenarios where you're given different weapons and shit.
Oh.
And I've played like four of them so far. And God, it feels good. I mean, I gotta tell you, I was having an issue with it until I figured something out. You know that face tracking thing you discovered?
Yeah.
There is a downside to it. Do you know how I think it's face track, no IR, whatever it's called?
Yeah.
It installs like these virtual joysticks.
Yep.
I have to turn that off every now and again.
Yeah.
Because it made Elite Dangerous all screwy. It made TIE Fighter all screwy. It made
sees it as a joystick when the game starts.
Yeah, it sees those as like the first joysticks and it just goes with those. So I had to turn them off.
Oh, I can show you how to fix that. You change the bind order of the joysticks in the panel, but it's cool. Yeah.
How do you do? Oh, you have to show me that later.
Yeah.
I've been just disabling the whole kit and caboodle. I thought you could do that, but I couldn't figure out how to do it. Anyway. Once I got the joystick thing figured out, Elite Dangerous. Yeah. I'm surprised how far I've come around on that one. So I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
So you think that's coming out this year? I mean, it says March 2014 is released, and if you're playing with the alpha, that's not looking too good for March.
I think they're probably making more progress than Star Citizen, because I don't think they're planning as much, and they have a smaller budget. So
some movies have a smaller budget.
That's true, but from what I understand, they are planning to come out this year. That's what I understand. I could be wrong. Someone correct me if I am, but I thought they were coming out this year.
I have them as March.
Let me see. Because honestly, the Kickstarter, I think, tells you when they plan to release things. You know what I mean? So let's see what that's. Hello? Stupid thing. Okay. Elite. There we go. Elite Dangerous. Yeah, they only got 1.5 million. So let's see. Let's see. Yeah, March 2014.
Yeah, that's ambition.
That is ambitious. That is, yeah, I don't see that happening. But I, based on what I've played of the alpha so far, it's the flight model at least is solid. And that's farther than we've gotten with Star Citizen. We don't even have anything to fly with that yet.
You have things you can buy. That's the most important part.
Star Citizen. Oh, well, yeah. I need to buy
more things.
Please don't talk to me about how many things you can buy. But yeah, Jim, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be good times. And based on what I've seen of it, I don't think that it could be bad, right? If he just took what's there and said, "Oh, I quit. All right, community just mod this." I think people could make a banging game out of what's there right now.
Probably.
Right? So, I mean, no matter what he puts out, it will turn into a pile of gold when the community gets a hold of it. And I hope he makes it like really moddable too. So, but that's my vote on Elite Dangerous. The game that I have the most ginormous space boner for is Enemy Starfighter.
I want that game so bad, but I don't want that game
a minute before it's done. I wouldn't mind, Mike. I know you're listening. I wouldn't mind having more alphas, right? I need an update because I've watched you on Twitch coding that thing and testing it, and I'm like, I wish I could play that. So, just a little hint for anybody who might be listening, more alpha code, please. Aterium was fun. That's probably the most faithful Wing Commander 1 remake.
Oh, yeah.
Commander 1, 2. That's a good time. I hope that happens. Aterium.
Aterium, yeah. It looks, hang on, I'll send you a thing. It looks a lot and plays a lot like a classic Wing Commander game, and it and we got to, I mean, there's a demo of it now, I believe, but It's I'll put it in the Skype here, but it's fun. It's a fun time. There you go. But yeah, there is a demo of it as well. I will link to that as well. Yeah, there's the demo.
Ooh. Screw you guys. Oh, yeah, I'm out of here. I'm gonna play this.
So let's see. So last Federation is gonna be interesting, I think.
Yeah, that'll be intriguing.
And if it is kind of screwy, see, I think it's gonna be interesting. But it looks like it. Just looking at the graphics that he was showing us early on, I don't think it's going to play like anything that we've seen before. It's going to be kind of a quirky, weird game. And that's okay. And if it sucks, I know where he lives, and it takes me about 15 minutes to get over there. So
so get your restraining order now.
He's pretty close. Yeah, so don't screw it up.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, he's plenty close. And then, okay, so Limit Theory, I haven't had a lot of exposure to. But I know that Chris Roberts is blowing a continuous stream of smoke up that guy's ass. And if Chris Roberts is behind you and likes your stuff, then you're probably on the right track.
Right.
So I think Limit Theory is probably looking pretty good. I got high hopes for Star Drive Unity, that the game might actually get finished because he's converting the game over to Unity, and that's why he abandoned the game that everybody paid money for, right? Yeah. So when the Unity conversion is done, does he gift it to everybody? You know, like, oh, well, here's the new version. This is Star Drive 2, you know, version 2.0. So everybody that bought the first one gets the second one. Because if he tries to sell it again, well, that's not going to go over very well.
No, it's already not going over well, but they haven't said. It might not even be up to him because he's under Iceberg. So it might not even be up to him. So who the hell knows? I mean, if they wanted to engender a lot of goodwill with gamers, they would do that. Yeah. And I think that would really help sales in the long run. But I don't have a lot of faith that that will happen.
Mm.
So that's probably, if I was to start my list, that's the thing I'm most concerned about.
Yeah. So the one game that I'm not seeing on here is what was that one that we played? It was a few shows back, and you start out on an asteroid and take off, and it's like really primitive graphics.
Rodina. I don't know if that's going to be out this year.
Okay. Yeah, I noticed it was absent from the list, but that looks kind of interesting. So.
Oh yeah, no, I'm totally excited about it, but I don't know if the plan is having it come out this year, so I didn't add it to the list. Hmm. And then, there's only been three versions, and they just added headlights. Seriously, they just added. No, seriously, that is important. Not only do you get headlights on a planet, you get a flashlight when you're out of the ship. So there have been times I've landed on a place and it's been like pitch dark. It's like, fuck, I can't see anything. So yeah, I'm excited about flashlights. Seriously.
Psyched up for flashlights. That's the show title.
I am not kidding. I'm excited about flashlights.
Episode 45, all hopped up for flashlights.
Flashlights. Every game that has flashlights, we will talk about.
So if you're going the speed of light and you turn on a flashlight, what happens?
The light washes behind you like a wake.
Oh.
Like the wake of a wave. I don't know. I just made that up. But that would look cool.
Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff on the list that I have no concept of what it is.
Like
Deep Space Settlement. I don't think we've ever covered that.
I did a Q&A with them a while back. I asked them on the podcast, but they're not interested. But that's going to be a neat looking 4X. I haven't seen much in the way of gameplay, really. Just a lot of videos about cool ships doing cool things, but. Yeah, not really sure on the gameplay aspect of that one yet.
Do you guys have any love for Starforge? It's basically Space Terraria.
I haven't played it. I haven't. I have not touched it. I don't know why. I know a lot of people do like it. I think I'm waiting for it to mature a little bit and then not wipe characters. I don't know if they've gotten to that point yet.
Important. I mean, you've got to be into like the Minecraft Terraria thing. It's not.
I didn't really like Minecraft, but I love Terraria. And Jim, I think Jim shares my adoration of.
Yeah, have you been on my server yet?
I have not.
Yeah,
I'm too busy playing Bings over Flanders Field and Jumpgate and Skyrim.
Yeah, so let me tell you a story about Starbound. So okay. I bought Starbound, and I was like, hey, this is pretty neat. I want to play
Star it. Starforge? Starbound or Starforge?
Starbound.
Wait, did you say Starforge or Starbound?
Yes, he said Starforge.
Oh, I haven't...
Which is okay. Also like a Terraria in space.
Oh, what the f... Okay, I'm getting my games confused.
No, which...
So anyway, Starbound is actually made by one of the Terraria guys.
Yes.
And Starforge is not. But Starforge is more like Minecraft in space, isn't it?
I think.
And then there's that other one. Well, it's more of a survival thing because you're on the planet, and I saw that there was like bugs and stuff attacking the guy, and you're, you know, like using a gun that's basically like a 3D printer nanite gun to like build walls, and he's like painting walls with it.
Oh, this one.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. All right. So, yeah. Starforge is the 3D one. Starbound is the Terraria one.
Yeah. Okay. Starbound story. I bought Starbound on the day that the beta came out for myself and my wife. And I was like, I'm going to put up a server. We're going to play this. She gets on her computer and fires up Terraria. And she's like, I'm going to play Terraria. She's like, why should we play the new thing? We haven't even finished the old thing. Okay, that's not how this really works. You don't understand how to build up a proper Steam backlist. Let me explain. But anyway, yeah, so I set a server up on the media PC in the living room and opened a port, and I've been having all my friends in and stuff. And it's basically they come in and they make some jacked up looking hovel, and then she comes back and they log in a week later and she's turned it into a Barbie dream house for them. Which it's sick. But anyway.
Nice.
Yeah, keeps her busy. So, but anyway, yeah. So I still haven't played Starbound because I'm waiting on Terraria to die out.
Starforge looks mostly planetary. I mean, I see screenshots of like a space station, but it looks very Skyrim-y, actually.
I meant Starbound. Starforge is there. I meant Starbound, but Starforge is definitely. I've only seen the giant bomb. They just break it. Try to break it as hard as possible, like their quick look, and it looked interesting.
Yeah, it does look interesting. It doesn't look spacey, sadly. But it does look cool. I've added it to my Steam wish list.
I like the zombie version, that 7 Days to Die. Have you seen that on Steam?
I have seen it. I have not played it, and I probably will not play it.
Yeah, it's basically like Left for Minecraft.
Because zombies scare the crap out of me, and so...
Or the walking Minecraft, or whatever.
That's why I can play Sir, You're Being Hunted, because it's robots. Mm. I can play that, but... Yeah, I have no interest in stuff like DayZ and stuff.
Mm.
So.
Well, DayZ isn't even about zombies anymore. It's about people are assholes.
Other people.
Yeah, it's like The Walking Dead. Like, it's not about the zombies. It's about the people.
Yeah, they could honestly just take the zombies out, and it would be the same game. The cool thing that I saw for that, have you ever seen the Japanese movie Battle Royale?
No, I've heard of it.
Okay, so they put a bunch of people on an island, right? And they all have collars, and they'll explode if you leave the section of map, you know, that you're supposed to be in. And every day, they shrink the circle on the map to force everybody into the middle. And it's last man standing gets off the island, right? So they made a mod for DayZ that is the same thing. It announces, like, over the radio, like, the map will be changing in 15 minutes. So you have to look at the map and see where do you have to be and run for the safe zone, you know, get inside the border. And, I don't think that even has zombies in that mode. It's just people.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, it's great. I watched a dude playing it on Twitch, and he was, like, in the last three of the survivors. I watched it for hours, you know, and it was just like watching a drama TV show. Because you have to eat and drink and stuff. So it's not enough to just sit there and camp. You have to be hunting for supplies and water, or you will die. So it's like people have to move around. And then it's like, well, look at the map. Where's the water supply around here? People are going to have to go there. Well, I'm going to go hunt that. Yeah. So, yeah, kind of interesting game. But not in space, unfortunately. What's that other game that is Minecraft in space? And I remember it's like big
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
There's Scrumble Ship.
Never heard of that, but I love the
title. Star Maid.
Are you just making up?
Yeah, Star Maid.
I am not making that up. It's called Scrumble Ship, and there's also Star Maid, and now there's going to be Space Engineers.
Yep, Space Engine. I saw a guy make a X-Wing fighter in Space Engine.
Right, so yeah, I saw that too. That was nifty. I don't know if that's coming out this year. I don't know how I feel about
that. Stuff is born from, like, one of the first things that people did as a giant project in Minecraft was make a Starship Enterprise, you know, like full scale that you could walk around in. And yeah. then somebody's like, I wish I could fly that shit. I put all that time into it. And then, well, now you can.
Yeah. StarMade is, I think, the bigger one. There's also one called Infinite Pixels that's coming out that looks pretty interesting.
There's a lot of pixels in it.
Yeah, a lot of pixels.
An infinite number, if you will.
So those are the ones you're excited about?
Yeah, I'm thinking that's the ones. The ones that I don't know anything about, like Star-Lords, don't really know anything about it.
You'll have to learn something about them.
That's why you're here, sir.
That's on Steam. I'm asking you. It's a 4X, another 4X. I don't know much about it right now. Except that I want to play it, but I don't know really much about it, except it's coming out this year.
So what about Void Destroyer? That one's coming. That's one of those.
Tomorrow. That's coming out tomorrow.
What?
And I'm excited. Yeah, that comes out, at least the early access version, comes out tomorrow, the 15th. And that's very exciting because he's put Justin. That's his name.
Is this one of those, like, build a spaceship out of Legos? And
no, we've had him on the show.
Yeah.
He's the guy that – no, you don't build a spaceship out of Legos. This is the RTS – first person mixture where you have a tactical view where you can control your things and then you can take over a cap ship or you can take over a fighter and duke it out and then jump back into the tactical view and control stuff and then jump back into a fighter. So yeah, that's out tomorrow.
Huh.
If people want to try that, by the time you hear this, probably. but yeah, that's on Steam. Coming out early access. I already have a key. I've already got it.
That game. Heck yeah. Okay, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, that looks like a great game. I'd forgotten
the name of it. So
yeah.
Yes.
The problem is there are two Void games. There's Void of Darkness, which is...
That's kind of a silly name.
That one's a top-down, Starflight-esque, space action adventure game. And then you have Void Destroyer, which is
it looks like Homeworld, basically.
What's the esque that would be? That would be like
it's Homeworld esque.
It's 1942 Pacific Air War esque, where you could be the admiral and then jump into a plane and then jump back to being the admiral again. That's what it reminds me of.
Because all voids are voids of darkness, right? Because what you made out of it was
darkness. What about a void has nothing in it, which means it's absent of light as well. So yes, it would be a
void of darkness would be like my hacker name if I lived in my mom's basement and wore black lipstick.
But then you have the Void Destroyer. Would that destroy the darkness?
You could destroy a void.
Destroy a void?
Yeah,
destroy the darkness therein?
No, you put something in it and it's no longer a void.
Oh.
I fire a magic missile at the darkness.
Yes.
Fill the void with my meat. Wait.
What?
Sorry.
What'd you say?
We need better
names. Dogged in a hallway. What?
Coffee can down a hallway.
That's right. He is the Void Destroyer.
Oh, that's what she said. So, what else? Horizon. Have you played any of that?
I have. I did a preview of it a little while back. It looks kind of fun. It's also by Iceberg. It's coming out, I think, in a few months.
Is that like another Moolicious?
It's kind of, but it's a little more story focused.
Okay. I think it was Horizon, where the guy, because it's like a single man dev team, and he was talking about like he put his whole personal savings into the thing. And
oh, I don't like that.
Possibly. That's also limit theory, if you think about
it. Yeah, but he was talking about how he'd been, like, working on this thing for, like, 10 years and, you know.
That might have been him.
Yeah.
I don't remember. It's so much – it's amazing how, like, much there is to keep track of.
It is.
It's great. It's like when I put this list together, I'm like, holy shit. That's, like, more games than came out – more space games in this year that came out in, like, between 2005 and 2010.
Well, that's why I keep telling you. That we need a wiki or something bolted onto the site just for us. We don't even have to let anybody else look at it, but I can't keep this straight. Well, like Void Destroyer, right? It's like, I've never heard of this. Oh, yes, I did. I talked to the guy, and I loved the game.
yeah.
And then I see all these people on Skype, right? And it's like, these names pop up, and it's like, oh, crap, what game did he do? So as I remember, I start, like, editing their Skype names to be the name of the game.
No, that's a good idea, actually. That's kind of what I've been doing a little bit.
Well, part of it is the naming. Like, there's only so many combinations of the word star, space, and void you can use, and they all sort of, like, blend together.
There are at least six star games coming out this year. Star Drive,
because they want you
Star
to know
Fight,
what it is, right?
Star Lords, Star Ruler 2, Star Villains, and Star Wars.
Well, it's like Deer Hunter.
Lots of star.
Right? You hear the title of the game is Deer Hunter. God, I wonder what you do. What could this be a game about?
You go to Vietnam, and you get lost, and then you have your best friend find you in a Russian roulette tournament.
Yeah, you play Russian roulette. That's the game.
It's the most depressing game ever. It's also 18 hours long just for all that. Oh, God, that movie.
Yeah, you get a 5-6 chance of winning.
True. All right, I want predictions. I have predictions.
Well, let me just – Jim has pretty much already covered my top, really. Yeah. I mean, Limit Theory is –
What's this
my
more
top.
Game, M-O-R-E?
Oh, that's another 4X. There's a lot of 4X. There's a bunch of 4Xs coming out this year. Yeah. There's more.
Is that like Settlement. Mighty Off-World Resource Empire? What does more stand
something
for?
Something like that. What the f- – hang on.
Massive original – really exploring.
Hang on. Mojave Off-Road Racing Enthusiasts. No, that's
massive orbital robot erection.
That is God, what the hell?
I love that one.
That is great. I would play that game. I would
that
play
would
that
only
game.
Come from Japan.
That put you on a list if you play that game though.
Military Organization Research Economy.
Uh-huh. Massive orbital robot erection.
That might be a better game. I don't know.
I don't know. It'd be a hell of a good podcast title. We might get some views.
Oh, I backed that one. I can't even keep track of the Kickstarters I backed. I totally backed that one. Fuck me.
How can you back anything? Chris Roberts has all your money.
No, they don't.
Have you set up monthly payments yet?
Yes.
I think you just sign away his life.
Wait a minute. You're already a subscriber to the game that doesn't exist?
Yes, because I get a magazine and a chance to go to the studio.
Does it have centerfolds in this magazine?
Not yet.
It's Chris like Roberts.
Chris Roberts with a little flight helmet over his junk. And
I would pay for that. No, I wouldn't. God. We had him on the show. He was really nice. I should stop talking.
I'll show you my skipper missile.
Oh my God. So I've backed 41 Kickstarters that have been successful and tried to back 56 that weren't. Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot of Kickstarting.
It's a lot of Kickstarting. Well, I believe in putting my money where my mouth is.
I don't want to know where your money's been.
It's in that erection game, the robot erection game. That's where it's my money and my mouth have been. Wow. Sorry. But yeah, Jim, you pretty much stole my top. I mean, Enemy Starfighter and Limit Theory. As much as I love all these other games, I love you all. Those are the games I'm most excited about. Is those two, Enemy Starfighter? Oh, and Elite Dangerous. Because holy shit, that's nice.
Yeah, it was like I was kind of like, yeah, Elite Dangerous. You know, it's coming out, and the videos looked kind of neat. Okay, whatever. We'll wait and see. And then I saw that guy playing the alpha on YouTube, and I was like, holy crap, that looks awesome.
Yeah,
like, I couldn't believe that it actually looks as good as what the Kickstarter advertised, right?
Well, I was against it because the Kickstarter started off so poorly, you know? And I was like, really? They're trying to cash in on our nostalgia without showing us anything? So it's only after – remember the Cap Ship video where like a capital ship was under attack and they sent out a distress call?
Yeah, and they were showing the Cobras and it was like, oh, wait, they're actually using the old ship designs.
But not only that, they're using the actual engine to show all that off. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sold.
Here.
What was that?
I said, yeah, there was a fear that there wasn't a lot there originally.
But we've seen in-engine cutscenes before that were rendered by, you know, like a Cray supercomputer. You know, it's like this is in-engine, but not necessarily in-game. But now I believe it's in-game.
Oh, and dude, on the Alpha, with all the settings turned up, it's like butter, like fucking butter. And it just, it's so, I picked the right time to upgrade. I really, really did.
I think you picked the right time to fire up Open Broadcaster and put that shit on Twitch. You should do that.
I'm not sure if I should, because it's not my copy. I want to make sure it's cool with the guy who is lending it to me before I do that.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? So yep. I asked him and I haven't heard back. So if he's cool with it, I'll do it. But I don't want to do it unless he's cool with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I totally understand that. Yep.
Yeah. So, but if he gives me the go ahead, yeah, it'll be on Twitch. Oh, and another game I'm really excited about for 2014, Jumpgate.
Ooh.
The game of 1999 is back, bitches. And it's glorious.
It's back as of today.
No, it's been back for a while, at least a couple weeks. Because, yeah, I was on the other day and I saw level 40 pilots. And 50 is the level cap. So there have been people that have been on for about 100 hours already.
Oh, wow.
Because you can look up any pilot and see how long they've been on and what their level is and where they are and stuff like that. So it's very cool. But – Nate, do you know what I'm talking about?
The MMO, yeah.
Yes, yes, okay, good. But folks, if you don't know what I'm talking about, Jumpgate was before Elite Dangerous, before Star Citizen, before Earth and Beyond, and before even EVE Online. Jumpgate launched in late 1999, originally published by 3DO. Remember them?
My ex-girlfriend had a 3DO.
What?
Yeah.
Should have locked that up. Should have married her just for the 3DO.
Nah, there's a lot of stories. I can't.
I had a friend who had a 3DO and a.
Should have married him.
And a 3DO. Yeah. He loved that thing. He really did love that thing.
It was a very interesting console. Not a very successful console, but it was very interesting.
Was it one of the first CD-based consoles?
Yep, sure was.
Was it like $700? Or something.
I think that was the Neo Geo, wasn't it? Wasn't the Neo Geo like $600 or $700?
Yeah, the Neo Geo was ridiculous, but this was still like a $400 console.
Yeah, like $300 or $400, which was unheard of back then. Now, you know, the PS4 comes out at $400, and it's like, all right. But
yeah, well, it was a CD-based system in the days of the Super Nintendo and the Sega Genesis.
It was a little bit ahead of its time.
Yeah.
But yeah, it came out by 3DO, and
it had the first Need for Speed game on it. That was really the game.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. I didn't know that.
Interesting piece of gaming trivia there. First Need for Speed game. But Jumpgate was a first-person skill-based MMO. It was like you're flying around in Privateer, you're flying around in Elite, and you do missions, you make money, you kill enemies, you do PvP. There's so much you can do in the game. I played it on and off for 10 years before they shut it down, at least. They shut it down in 2012, where the server population was probably 15 to 20.
Now, it had a monthly subscription back then, right?
It was like, 10 bucks. Yeah. It was 10 bucks a month. And that's why I didn't play it straight through. There are times I couldn't afford it. But there were times I put hundreds of hours into it. So I've probably put at least between 700 and 1,000 hours into that game over the years, just doing missions and just mining and flying around. And some Russian folks, I don't know who, somehow reversed engineered the whole thing, set up a server, got the client working with it, and now the game's running again for free.
That sounds very not legal.
Here's the thing. Someone like told me about it the other day. Someone emailed me, a friend of mine from the game. They emailed me like, dude, it's back. And I'm like, what? But they're like, this is for you, not the site, because I'm not sure about the legal stuff. I'm like, okay. So I logged in. I played like 3 hours-ish over the weekend. And then it got on Blues News today. I'm like, oh, well, there you go. But I contacted the folks behind the game. There's an email on the site, on their site, and asked if that was okay. And they're like, yeah, all's good. I mean, they probably don't care. They're in Russia. So they might be untouchable. But, yeah, I'm not sure how legal the thing is. It looks like the whole thing was reverse engineered. But it's working. And I was on with 100-some people the other day, which was amazing for this game. And it's such a great, great game because you need to have skill. And I'm worried now that it's back, I'm not going to play anything else because there's nothing else I've wanted to play since I found out about it.
So it'll be the Jumpgate podcast.
I'm trying to get people on next week to talk about it. And you've already signed up, sir.
I did. I was in there playing with one of your bros.
Regan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, Regan is awesome.
Yeah.
Regan is like one of the moms of the game, really. She is fantastic. Everyone loves Regan. So, yeah, you picked the right race, Quantar. That's the good way to go. Because we are the most righteous. And, yeah, so.
How long was the game gone?
It stopped in, like, I looked. I had a post about the day it shut down. It was, like, mid-2012.
Oh, so it hasn't been all that long.
No, it's been about a year and a half. And it was up since 99. I played in the beta in 99, and then the game launched, I think, in late 99, early 2000-ish. So it was up for 12 years, at least. 12-ish years. And I played for most of that, a lot of that. And it was really sad to see it go. And now I think 2014 is starting off on the right foot because it's back.
It's a lot of – kudos to them. That is not easy to do, reverse engineer a game without the server-side code. I mean, that is
– I don't even know how they're doing it. One, I don't know how they're doing it. Two, I don't know how they're putting a server together that supports at least 100 pilots. Maybe the server software that they use is scalable to that regard. I don't know. But, yeah, I was on with 100 pilots, and some were reporting disconnection issues, but I haven't had any. I mean, the graphics aren't the greatest because, you know, the last graphical update it got, it was in the mid-2000s.
Hey, you know what? Scalable. You can play it on not elite computers.
You can play it on just about anything. And you can play it with a mouse and keyboard. And it also has face tracking because I used it with my PS3 eye camera. So hey,
this is interesting. So if you go to opengate.sourceforge.net,
yeah,
there's an open source jump gate that they've been working on.
OpenGate?
Yep, opengate.sourceforge.net.
How have I not heard of this? I don't even see when the last post was. There are no downloads, though.
Yeah, it's only had 7 downloads this week. The last update was on the 6th, so it's in active development.
Wait, where are you seeing that?
I went to the SourceForge page, sourceforge.net/projects/opengate.
Oh, okay, because the last update on the site looks like it was in 2011. So wait, sourceforge.net/projects/opengate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh.
Screenshots look nice.
They do, but.
Yeah, but it's like from November 2010, July 2011. So who knows what's going on with this thing. But it's just interesting that it was happening. I was actually searching for, there was another game that was kind of jump gate-ish that I saw on Unix, and it was not called Jumpgate or anything, but it was...
There's another game coming out called Border Space, which is from some former Jumpgate players, actually, which looks exciting. And one of the programmers of Jumpgate who worked on it, I think he's not actively supporting it, but I think he's helping out, like consulting, I think, or something. So there's that one. But the actual Jumpgate is back, which is amazing. It's like a New Year's miracle. It really is. So, yeah, I'm kind of amazed by that. So, folks.
Oh, it's Vega Strike. That's the one I was looking for.
Oh, I've tried that one.
Not the same.
Not the same. Really, really just not the same. But, yeah. Anyway, so you want to talk about predictions, Nate?
I do. I have lots of bad predictions.
Ooh, I want to hear them. I love predictions.
All right.
Put your Carmack hat on.
All right. My first prediction is that at the end of the year, Distant Worlds is still not on Steam.
Oh, well, that's adorable. It's never going to happen. That's never, ever going to happen. I don't think. I mean, no Matrix. Okay, that's not true. AI Wars on Matrix and AI Wars on Steam. And isn't there something else that's also on Steam? Oh, Unity at Command, I think, is also on Matrix, which is also on Steam.
But I have real that's my joke prediction. My one of the real predictions is that at E3 this year, I am predicting a Wing Commander reboot.
You mean not Star Citizen, but from EA?
Well, yeah. My second prediction is that Chris Roberts beats a computer with a bat when he hears about it. But yes.
Not a Pepsi machine.
No, that's not Derek Smart. No, a Coke machine.
I want it was something.
It's called Jeff Green, but no, that's that is my prediction. Is that there is a I am predicting this is a no inside information, but I am predicting some sort of maybe downloadable something.
No, you know what it has to be. To completely fuck the franchise up, it has to be a game that plays in a browser. It'll be like a Facebook game called Wing
Commander. They did a shitty Wing Commander game. We talked about this. Wing Commander Arena for the XBLA. They've already done the battle.
Oh, yeah, that's true. They did.
No, you know what? This will be a browser-based top-down shooter.
Wing Commander Renegade?
Yeah, Wing Commander Raiden or something like that. It'll be fucking a top-down horizontal, you know, Raiden-style shooter.
Well, the other one they made was top-down, wasn't it?
The XBLA one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was top-down. It was garbage. Stop talking about it.
Ooh, ouch.
Sorry.
It's okay. I never played it, so I have no experience with it at all.
It was the only thing that was maybe worse than that Star Trek game that they made when the 2009 movie came out.
Ooh.
Oh.
Oh, we've never talked about that one.
Isn't it funny that that was like $5 in the Steam sale recently? I thought that was hilarious.
$5 too much.
What's insane is that Iron Sky is still $39. How can it be? But anyway, go on.
Those are bold predictions.
I think it'll be some sort of like Starhawk kind of like a PS4 kind of like Starhawk.
Oh shit!
But it might not be bad.
Maybe.
I predict that, and then I predict that No Man's Sky. This is not coming out today, but I think that game No Man's Sky breaks through. I think you see like Polygon and all those other. I think that could be. You'll start to see the drumbeat, and that'll become a major release. And I think that'll be something that I think a lot of publications really spend a lot of time focusing on. I think that has like a lot of sort of mainstream press that ignores a lot of space games. I feel like they're intrigued by it, and I think that's something that definitely will be something that'll be really, really good for the space game area as a whole.
Now, my prediction to dovetail with that is that Gabe Newell will wake up tonight in the middle of the night with the realization that that's true, and he will buy them and bring them into Valve, and it will be released as a Steam Box exclusive.
Oh, see, I was good. That sounds ooh, awesome. That sounds good.
Interesting.
I am wondering, though, if we're going to see Steam Box exclusives, because they're going to have trouble dragging the Windows developers, like the AAA studios. I think all the indie guys are going to fly into it. You know, it was like that. God, what was that crap Android console that came out last year?
Oh, yeah.
Like anybody that was on that, of course, will be on the Steam Box. But I don't want to see it turn the way of the Ouya, because it kind of freaks me out, right? Because when I buy an Xbox, I'm getting an Xbox. There's one hardware platform, and I'm assured that anything developed for that is going to run optimally on it, right? But now that you have tiering in this new console market, it's like, how do I know buying one that I'm buying enough of one?
But see, that's robbing. It's like cutting off your nose to spite your face, because Steam makes its money by taking. Like, why would you make a game that most of your player base can't buy?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Like, what? Like, they make their money by putting Steam on everything, by saying Half-Life 3 or whatever game only comes on the Steam Box. You're preventing most of the people from buying it, which prevents Valve from making money.
Does anyone here have an interest in a Steam Box?
I actually kind of do, if it goes a certain way, you know, because it's a Debian Linux box underneath, right? So it depends how much can I muck around with it beyond it boots up into Steam mode, right? Like, can I treat it as a PC? Can I run Excel on it? If so, yeah, I can do any. Well, I'm just saying I can do anything then, right? Can I, cause it's a PC, could I dual boot it into Windows or whatever? See, where I think that we're going to see adoption with the Steam OS stuff is if they make it easy enough that you download a CD, you drop it in your desktop PC that's already your gaming machine that you have your big investment in, and you load Steam OS on it. and people will try that because there's people that want to break the hell away from Windows. And the only reason they're still on Windows, I have my hand raised, the only reason these people are still on Windows is because that's where the games are.
Yeah.
So if you make...
Is that true? Like, I know you are, but, like, I just don't think the market is there. Like every game on Steam OS will probably be on Windows, and you have a Windows machine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you have to convince people to buy a separate machine that does own, that is not the Windows machine that they have, and I just don't think the market is that big.
Yeah, I think Steam OS will be more for the tweaker crowd, not the drug tweakers, but you know, the people who like to tweak with OSs and programmers and stuff like that. I don't see it being widely adopted. I mean, if Windows 8 has such a low adoption rate, I really don't see SteamOS doing even that much better. Because
yeah, but if you can, if SteamOS costs you nothing and you can run it on your current PC,
right,
and all you have to do is just boot into it, you're going to try it.
Oh, I will try it. I'm not going to leave it there because this isn't just a gaming PC. I like do my bills on this and shit. Mm. So, you know, that's, I don't think SteamOS is going to do that for me. But,
other big thing that I see happening here, which I feel is the more important thing, is that they're getting first party hardware driver support from NVIDIA, from ATI. And these people who have not always been, you know, Linux was like an afterthought, right? Well, now you're getting good drivers for your and audio, because audio is, I don't think, has changed in Linux since 1995, right?
Yeah.
You know, it's the weakest thing. So I think that audio support and video support are going to take a monstrous leap on the Linux desktop from this, because all that code is completely portable back and forth. So for that alone, I cheer the SteamOS for finally pulling those vendors together and making them play, right? And I think that they're getting all that backing because it's Valve, right? So if Valve's all in on this thing, then the vendors are going to have to go there, even on the like, to quote the Dumb and Dumber thing again. So you're saying there's one, you know, you're saying there's a chance. Yeah. So it could be interesting. But it's also, like, for, what, a couple of years now, they've been selling Mac games. And it's the minority of stuff. But before Steam started putting out Mac games, there weren't any Mac games.
Not really.
Yeah. So that's a market that's just become, right? But the adoption rate of Macs is pretty good. But if you look at the Macs that are out there, aside from the iMacs, but the vast majority of Macs are people that have little 13-inch MacBook Pros.
I have an Air.
Or an Air, yeah. But it doesn't have any kind of video card to speak of in there, right?
Nope. Like integrated graphics.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, what are you going to run on there that's a AAA title? Nothing. So yeah. It's kind of like, well, I would be interested to see what their Mac sales are actually like and which titles.
Oh, I bet it's good. I do a lot of gaming on my Mac. You'd be surprised. I mean, it's not like Call of Duty, but like all indie games run on it. You know, Endless Space runs on it fine. You know,
I'm sorry,
not that bad.
But it does leave out the Call of Duty kids. But yeah, but that's the thing. I think that's the same niche that we're going to see with the Steam Box is going to be the indie games.
But I can do so much more on the Mac, you know, than the Steam Box. I need Gabe to summarize, like, what is the selling point? I just don't see it. Like, well, if it was like a $100 Roku box or something, like, I could see it, but it's like, it's expensive.
Yeah, it's a $500 Roku box.
Yeah. Or a $6,000 Roku box.
Right. Yeah, it's a hard conversation to have. Hey, I'm going to spend $3,000 on a stream, but I just don't see.
Well, it's that convergence, right? Because everybody wants a PC in the living room. A lot of people are going cord cutter right now. Mm-hmm. And what do you think the odds are Valve comes out with their own video streaming service?
Oh, no.
Zero.
No. No, no, no.
No, no.
Here's my prediction. Oh, probably not.
You think Valve's coming out with like a Netflix or something?
No, I absolutely doubt it. Although they probably could buy Netflix at this point. So
that's true.
Apple could buy Netflix and just put them out of their misery.
Yeah, I'm not too sure how I feel about the Steam Box, but
you know, I feel like we won't be talking about the Steam Box. I feel like Oculus is going to be the next neat technology.
That's what I'm most excited about, the 1080p version.
Did you see the head tracking stuff that's on it now? They put the dots on the front of it, and then
yeah, that's what camera. That's what I heard, because didn't it have a gyroscope before and people were getting sick? And then they changed it to face tracking and it got a lot better.
Yep. Yeah, because they actually track the frame of the Oculus itself now. So they said, like, you know, you can lean in, you can tilt your head and do – but it tracks everything now. So they said it's a lot more natural for people in the games. And they've done some tricks to get rid of the ghosting and stuff on the screens and get rid of the lag, because that's another thing that I'm sure you've noticed playing around with face track, no IR – is whenever you turn your head, the reaction in the game is not necessarily proportional to that, right?
Yeah.
So you turn your head a little and your head in the game turns a lot, but that's by the necessity of you have a camera watching you and you don't want to have to turn your head to where you can't look at the screen. Well, here right. You can turn your head and the screen stays put, so that's a different dynamic.
Exactly.
So I think all that will cut down on the motion sickness and...
Yeah, as far as hardware is concerned, that's what I'm most excited about for 2014. And
I think it's going to be – I think that's the next paradigm shift. Like that's – I think this becomes really big. Like,
yeah.
We've been talking about VR. Like I remember as a kid like playing – like they had like those really crappy machines like in the mid-90s and it was like, you know, like horrible polygons and all that stuff. But I think – I think they figured it out enough that it's viable. And I think I think it's going to be one of those things that like you'll be seeing it on the Today Show. Like I think it goes critical mass. And I think space games, especially because you have like that massive field of view and all that cockpit stuff will really benefit from it.
Oh yeah. Like so, I would love to play like Star Citizen and Euro Truck Sim 2 on an Oculus
Rift. Space Trucker 4, you know?
Oh, I want a space trucker. Someone make a space version of Euro Truck Sim 2. I'd be all that. But you know what? That's kind of why I did in Jumpgate. I did a lot of hauling missions.
Square pigs.
So,
have you ever seen Space Truckers? They genetically engineered pigs to be square so you could stack them better.
We've talked about that.
Awesome.
Well, to conclude, I think my prediction is that space gaming was. This is just a wide swath one because I suck at predictions. But I think 2014 will be a much more exciting year than 2013 was, space gaming-wise. Much more exciting.
Absolutely. I think Star Citizen alone, that alone would make it an more interesting year and just all these other games. I mean, I am so curious to see what happens with Star Citizen.
Yeah, don't rule out drama yet. That might be a good word.
Oh, there's a lot of drama already. There are a lot of people who like – oh, it pisses me off. They're like people on forums who like want to see it fail. They're like rubbing their fingers together, like let's wait for this bitch to blow up so we can watch them cry. That's what it feels like anyway.
And no, there are some people who are definitely just wanting to see it go. Wanted to see it just do poorly, and it's surprising. It's really controversial. Hasn't even started yet, so I think we'll be talking a lot about Star Citizen this year, even as it come out. I think every move that it makes is going to be, and once it'll break through, like it'll be mainstream gaming press that'll be talking about it too. Like this is one of those games that I think Foxy you'll be having a lot of podcasts about it.
Yeah. So my other prediction, back to the Oculus Rift thing, is I think that they're going to get Keanu Reeves to be their spokesmodel. And he can recreate that scene from Johnny Mnemonic where he's like hacking the Gibson because he essentially had an Oculus Rift on his face during in that movie. Uh-huh. You can go back and look at it.
He only had in that movie like 1 gig of information.
Oh, that's right.
It was bleeding like into his brain, man. Hey, it had Rollins in it, so it can't be all bad.
Henry Rollins was in that?
Oh, yes.
Really? Is it worth watching? Like, at all?
Oh my God. All right. I'm not speaking to you again until you watch that movie. We covered your lack of Neuromancer last week.
Oh, for God's sakes, let's not go down this road again.
You never read Neuromancer?
Oh, for fuck's sake. No, I've never read Neuromancer. God damn it, Nate.
I thought I knew you.
We won't even start on Snow Crash. But
oh, for God's sakes. I'm going to read it, guys. I have other things in the queue. But anyway,
the problem with Stevenson is that you only can, you know, it takes you like a year and a half to read any of his books. He really needs an editor, like anybody. Yeah. Like,
I've been kind of – I'm on a Discworld kick right now, so I want to kind of burn out on that first.
Yeah, one of my buddies was telling me he read some Stevenson book that came after that, and he was like – I forget which book, but he was like, Neal Stephenson's great. Don't ever read this book because he, like, exposes his whole formula in the thing because the book is just, like, so formulaic. And it just lays bare every other book that he ever wrote, and then he said it just sucked the enjoyment right out. I have to look at which one it was that he said.
Oh.
But he was like, it would be like Stephen King saying, you know, here's the mathematical formula that I create all my books with, you know, and then you can't ever read another Stephen King book because you realize, like,
the Stevenson thing is the formula is just like wild tangents. Just like he will just go, he'll go like 20 pages and just like lose the thread. And that's sort of the plus and the minus of him is that his books are just I think they're unfocused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Diamond Age is good though. I love Diamond Age. It's
great. Well, apparently I have to read Neuromancer. So that is on my list.
Yes. Yes, it is. So, like I told you last week, there's the BBC radio play of it. It's only 2 hours long. It gets the point across. Have you seen Elysium yet? No.
No.
Yes.
So Nate, now that you're here and you've seen Elysium and you've read Neuromancer, would you agree that Elysium and Neuromancer are the same plot? You must steal the information, go up to the space station, and hack the Gibson.
Oh, yeah, I guess. I guess, in that way, yes, but...
Hack the Gibson.
Yeah, in that case, yes, I would agree, but it was...
Well, and it was the whole thing, like, all the super rich people live on the space station, and they leave the scum to live down on the planet, and...
Yeah, I guess you're right. I hadn't thought of that until
And then there was, like, the secret agent people. Well, like, they had the South African guy, Vickers.
Yeah.
Whatever his name was in the new movie.
Creepy stuff.
He's essentially like their genetically engineered ninja from Neuromancer. It was like we have our one super ninja that, in fact, he had a ninja sword in Elysium. My God,
dude, I never thought of it. You're right.
So Blocomp's a hack. That's what I'm saying. I'm calling him out.
And it's sad because District 9 was so good. It was so good.
Yeah, it was. And if you like District 9, you'll like Elysium even more, honestly.
Yeah, it's very District 9-y. Very District
9. Some of the same people are in it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like Vickers, the guy who was turning into an alien slowly,
the antagonist
of it, is the bad guy in Elysium.
Oh, that's right. He's the best thing about the A-Team movie. And I love the A-Team movie.
And, he is a complete badass in Elysium.
Ooh. Yeah, no, he's... He's menacing. He's very menacing.
He gets his face completely blown off. I'm not going to spoil it more than that. But it's just that was I would say it takes a lot to shock me in a movie. That shocked me. That
here's my problem. My problem with Elysium is that I'm not going to say it, but it has some massive, massive plot holes. Like you can drive a truck through them.
Oh yeah.
I was talking about it, and that movie actually makes no sense. Like, if you actually look at it really closely, it doesn't work. But I'm not going to get into it now because people might want to see it. It's a nice movie, but it's just the plot is really holy. Like, just we'll talk about it offline.
Yeah, it seems like he had a concept of the last 5 minutes of the movie, and he was like, "How do I make this happen?" And he like wrote it backwards, right? And but then like couldn't figure out a beginning. Or something. I don't know. It was very, yeah. But anyway. It had some stretches.
It had some stretches.
I'm still trying to figure out why the sky was open to space on the space station. Why could they come up there and land aircraft?
Because Halo?
Oh, yeah. Because Blocomp was doing the Halo movie, so there's a... Okay.
Yes.
Well, on that note, folks, we are going to wrap this up.
Your Elysium podcast for today.
Your Elysium podcast for this week. Nate, I want to thank you for taking the time to come on. It's been fun having you on, talking about what you're excited about, your predictions, that sort of thing.
Hey, anytime. So, feel free to friend me up on Gamers with Jobs. I sometimes give out games. But, you know.
What's your handle on Gamers with Jobs again?
It's for the Iridium, people? Iridium 884.
Right. It's one R, right? IRIDIUM.
Yeah.
884, I believe.
Yeah. Do you have us friended on Steam? You should. We should start our own Steam group.
There isn't one?
I think. Not for the podcast.
There's one for Space Game Junkie.
Is there? How come I wasn't invited to this?
I don't know. I haven't done much with it. Okay, oh, my God.
God,
I mean, I have it. Okay, fine. There's a link to it right on the side there. Right on the side of the goddamn
website. I never go to your website. What? There's a website.
For fuck's sake. Okay, hang on.
You have a website? It was the podcast.
God damn it.
Well, so friend me up. I'm very lonely. So just friend me up. I'm
How do I invite you? Jesus fuck. Okay, there you are. I think I can invite you guys to the group on Steam. There, fuck you. There's your invite. God.
Well, thanks.
there's a link to it on the site. I don't know what to do with it, though. What do I do with a Steam group? I have one. I just don't know what to do with it.
Organize the play date. Group.
Yeah, we could have a play date, which would be a lot like a slumber party.
Yeah.
Not that again. Unless you do my hair, Jim. I want you to do my hair. Right. Okay.
We talk about boys, though, right? A lot.
Yeah, we got to talk about boys.
That's right. I think Adam has a crush on you.
Can't do my hair. So I don't have any hair.
Adam Ridgely? Does he have a crush on me? Okay. Folks, I want to thank you for listening, Nate. Thank you for joining, Jim. Thank you for co-hosting. And folks, again, I've mentioned a couple times, we do have an email at hail@spacegamejunkie.com if you want to get in touch with us, or the contact form on the website. But thank you for listening, as always. And on behalf of our guest and our co-host, I bid you a good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler.
Sure thing.
A million sunshine down, but I see the only one. I'm trying to think I'm over you. I find I'm just begun. The years move faster than the days. There's no more in the light. How I miss those desert skies.